Blog Talk Radio.
There's a kiss, there's a light in your heart. You just can't contain it. When we all play our part around the world, it's just so amazing. With our hands and our hearts, we can build this bridge together. With our wisdom and through our art, we can make a change for the better.
Together Peace by Mystic Column, our theme song for Peace Talks on Now Time Radio. Wanted to take this moment and say how much I appreciate all of you who tune in either during the show or later on in the week or at some point in time. It means a lot that you have chosen to check us out. And if you are a repeat visitor to our site and to our calls. We really appreciate your support. This is such an important time now as we all are coming together to evolve our conscious, to lift up our conscious so that we can intend the things that we want to see manifest in the world. And there's no greater power than clear intention. Clear intention with fearless action are the things that put us in a position where manifestation is not only possible, but is inevitable. And, of course, all of you who have been listening to us over the years know that for me, your host, Audrey Scott Williams, here on Peace Talks, what that intended vision for the future is peace, the kind of peace that brings about a different way of talking with one another, of being with one another, how we put systems in place to build societies and cultures of peace that honor each person's right to have a fulfilling and engaging life, to have access to opportunity, and to express their divine purpose in an environment that values who they are, that values their creative essence. And, of course, all of that means we create first a sustainable foundation that people don't wake up hungry around the planet, don't wake up with health challenges, with no opportunity to have those health challenges met, to not be able to provide for their families, to not have a home and access to clean water and a beautiful planet that is not being ripped apart by mining and toxins and toxic waste dumping and so forth. So that, for me, is the fabric of peace. The foundation of all of that is a recognition that love and compassion are the core values, the root values that allow everything else to build upon it. So that's what, when I talk about an intention and coupled with fearless action, that's what I'm talking about, creating that world of peace. You know, I always laugh and share that as we walk around the world, people often said to us, why in the world are you putting so much energy into walking for peace? There's never been peace and there never will be. And, of course, those of you who have heard me speak know that I always say that's one story. That's one story. And, indeed, as we look around us and we see the presence of wars and unrest around the world, we know that there is that element. I think that, on the other hand, what we may not give enough voice to is all the peace that does exist on the planet, in communities and within families, that we are finding ways of working together for the highest good of all, that we are seeking at a communal level often ways of creating systems and structures that allow us all to survive. And, of course, in the times that we're in now where things are harder, it is calling us to act in a way that is more inclusive. Our destiny seems to be very much bound in our capacity right now to support one another to achieve the things that are necessary, not only at an individual basis, but how those achievements then can help weave and uplift the community. Today I wanted to spend some time talking about evolution of consciousness. I think it's Deepak Chopra who talked about evolution of consciousness years ago in his Way of the Wizard lecture. And I want to kind of do a spinoff on that because lately what has been a real concern for me is how to communicate the importance of our conscious awareness of the distinction between our mortality and our immortality. And the more I looked into it, the more I felt that we have to begin with a conversation around the evolution of consciousness. Our culture, at least in a Western paradigm, or perhaps I should be even more specific, and I live here in the United States, so in the United States of America, in most of the places that I've been, a countrywide or national consciousness is that it's very time and space bound, very sensory bound, very scientific method bound, if you will. And what that means is that we look to what is apparent in our environment to gauge our own successes, to gauge our own well-being, if you will, based on how who we perceive ourselves to be connects with what we see in our environment. And the ultimate gauge of how successful we are in our culture tends to be how financially well off we are, what kind of job we have, how much money we make, what we do with the money that we make, and how that is seeable to the world. So if I have the right car, the right house, the right clothes, that tends to be very much bound up in how we identify ourselves and the success that we are. So it's how we feed our ego and prepare our ego to be successful. And of course, we all want to be successful. That tends to be very much connected to our identity in this culture. Well, that is one perception, and that is very much bound up in our mortality. It's very much bound up in our who we perceive ourselves to be. It's also extremely fragile, because what that means is our identity, our success is ultimately connected to the success of the sociocultural and political environment in which I live. So if something happens to the basic foundation upon which our society is built, then our ego takes a hit. Our perception of who we are takes a hit. You know, our whole awareness of time and space and how we perceive the world is affected. That is because we are living totally in our mortality. So as you can tell by that, it comes and it goes. It's transient. It's dependent on everything around us. When I talk about the evolution of consciousness, what I'm talking about is being able to lift our consciousness, actually going deep, and then lifting it into what we might call our immortality, our capacity to be, which is beyond the time and space paradigm. It doesn't mean it exists totally outside of it, but what it does is it acknowledges that there is some other source that is beyond our capacity to identify it, that is beyond our capacity to wrap our ego around it. Therefore, it is implied or implicit in that is that there is a potential space in which we must surrender. We must release ourselves to this power greater than ourselves. And that power that is greater than ourselves, that cosmic awareness of things, then allows us to shift from a state of being that is dependent on what we see in our environment to a state of being that is timeless, is eternal. That concept often comes into conflict with our perceptions in this world, because we tend to see things as life and death, here today, gone tomorrow. And so whenever we even frame the concept of shifting from our mortality to our immortality, what really gets called up in that conversation is a fear of death, fear of dying. And so we, in that space then, we are challenged to be able to see into our immortality, much less create core values that allow us to be in that space of our immortality. So it creates an immediate cultural conflict. cultural conflict, identity crisis. However, if we are to be able to access the fullness of our soul body, not as a separate part of who we are, but in fact as a greater part of who we are, then that's where the bridge must be built. That's where the evolutionary aspect of who we are now has an opportunity to come forward as we bridge from looking at the world in the sense of the limited sense, the transient sense of our mortality, and stepping into our immortality. Martin Luther King, I think, did this beautifully and fashioned this beautifully for us in his I Have a Dream speech when he said he's been to the mountaintop and he's looked over and he's seen the other side, acknowledging that he might not get there with us. However, he has seen the other side. He has seen the coming of the Lord. He has seen an aspect that is beyond this limited perception when we stay just in the mortal field. He connected with his timeless self, and he realized and gave us the gift of awareness in that speech that in our immortality, we may not be able to see the bigger picture, but when we can step beyond our immortality, our mortality into our immortality, we can see the divine perfection of the Creator, of God, by whatever name you choose to call that source, that timeless source, that source eternal. And so in that, we had a glimpse of how someone in this world at this time who was working for and giving his life to a struggle for peace and justice and righteousness in our world, what was his compelling energy in all of that was his immortality, the connection to his immortality. As a result of that, he became fearless, and at least in the actions that he chose to take. It wasn't based on a fear. It was based on a fearlessness because he saw the potential outcome of what he was being called to do. He was living his soul path. He was walking in his soul path. Now, of course, you're not going to have one without the other. And that's why I see the importance of the bridging between the mortality and the immortality. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Peace Talks on Now Time Radio. I am your host, Audrey Scott Williams. Welcome back to Peace Talks with your host, Audrey Scott Williams. I was talking about the bridge between our mortality, which is transient, and our immortality, which is timeless, which is ever-present, which is our connection to the fullness of who we are and what we're here to achieve. I was also talking about how it's not one. We're not just mortal beings, and then we see this potential immortality, that we are both. And so the mortal aspect of who we are, when we are connected to both our mortality and our immortality, allows us to then act in a way that grounds the essence of who we are, that divine source, that divine spark that runs through us all, grounds it in the actual work that we do here in this dimension. So we're able to access the fullness, that evolved state of consciousness that is connected to source, and we're able to embody that in the physical. And when we embody that in the physical, that's where creation happens. That is where we are able to create a culture of peace. Out of that comes our capacity to create music, to engage in creative endeavors, to imagine, if you will, a future possibility where we can have a culture of peace, one that honors the human spirit, that is built on the foundation of love and compassion. I also wanted to talk about, as we talk about our mortality and immortality and building that bridge, I want to also say that in each one of us, there is that God self that is all seeing and all knowing. And in our day-to-day existence, because it is more physical based, it's easy to lose sight of that, to disconnect from that infinite potential of who we are. And our ego will fashion all kinds of stories to keep us locked in the story, to keep us limited by what it is that we see and know we can do. And our culture creates for us the blockages. And for instance, if you're not making enough money, then the pressure of trying to exist and be that creative being that you are often will shut the doors around you. You begin to close in so that you can live in that picture of what it means to be successful. The tension, however, that gets created is our immortality is always knocking at the door of our ego. It is always challenging the ego by putting the example before the ego that the ego is such a small expression of who we are, that when we live in our mortality, we are living often in a very unfulfilled life. So when people say, I'm lonely, I feel isolated, I don't know what to do, it's important to see what is my reference for who I am. And if your reference is totally bound by how you fit into the culture and society that you live in, then you need to ask yourself, am I bridging my existence by connecting with my immortality? And if I am not, then the question becomes, how do I then begin to access that state of consciousness that allows me to step into the world of my immortality? How do I even begin to think of my immortality without the fear of death coming forward? One of the things that I say when this question comes up is that the fear of death is something we all must overcome, because in truth, we die every minute, every day. The parts of our body are peeling away all the time. So in truth, on the physical, we die every minute. On an emotional level, we're dying constantly to ourselves as we rebirth ourselves into the next stage of our consciousness and the next stage of recognition of who we are. And so the fear of our immortality is something that is brought forward by the ego. Because if we step into the realm of our immortality, then the ego begins to be challenged, because it's no longer bound by time. It's no longer bound and limited to who we have been in the past. It now is set free to explore itself in all of its infinite potential. So how do we get there? There are many ways we can get there. Some of the tools that we can use are meditation, being in nature, loving someone and serving someone. You know, often here in our country, we don't recognize service as one of the most important things that we can do for our own evolution, for our own healing, and for our own well-being. Our limited emotional body and psyche keeps us locked into where we think the whole most important thing is our own self-preservation. And because of that, it is difficult for us to step beyond the self, beyond the ego, to be totally in a state of submission and service to others. We see that often in our culture as a weakness. And we find all kind of ways to make that look like something negative rather than something positive. But service is a key, because in our service to others, we truly learn how to be in service to ourselves. We don't give up anything. It's all added to us. And so as we step into our immortality, we find out that it's all so much bigger than this concept of my mind, you know, this belongs to me. We find that what we are accessing in our immortality is infinite. It's all ever-present, everywhere. There's no place for the ego. When we tap into that energy, we can just be in the flow of divine essence at all times. We can access divine grace. We can access all that is available to us without limiting ourselves to what we think we have to be. It's so much bigger than that. And yet here the ultimate question comes back to, well, how do we exist in the day-to-day world? How do we make it if we put that energy and attention into our immortality? Back to what I said earlier. Our challenge in this dimension, in this world, is the building a bridge that allows us to access our immortality and to act in our immortality in the physical, making the physical bigger, if you will, through our physicality being able to be the divine force that can spark infinite potential in everything we do, manifesting what we need, manifesting what others need, creating this huge loop of service and love and compassion. And when we build upon that, it is not transient. It is a foundation, a solid foundation to the future possibility, not only of who we are, but the we, the identity of who we are. Our ego now is so much bigger. It's not so much the I now as it is the we. And yet we see ourselves in the we, and we learn how to express and create out of that perception. So today I wanted to have this conversation around mortality and immortality and creating a bridge from one to the other as a key ingredient to where we are now in this world as we begin this process of the evolution of our consciousness. I want to thank you for listening to me today on Peace Talks on Now Time Radio. I want to remind you that on Monday, October 15th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, I will be joining the Wise Women teleseries that will be starting. You can find out more about that by going to www.womenofspiritonline.com. I encourage you to join us Monday night at 7:30, Eastern Time, where I will be doing a live channel with the grandmothers, and we will be looking at this fall season as we are preparing for the winter, bringing in the new year. What do we need to do in the fall now to get us truly prepared and ready to gather our seeds to get ready for the spring, for the flowering of what's inside of us? So please join us on Monday afternoon. Again, you've been listening to Peace Talks on Now Time Radio with your host, Audrey Scott Williams. Visit my website, audreyscottwilliams.com, and find out more about what we're doing, what products and services we offer, and keep checking back. Lots of things to come. Write me at aew.qltc@gmail.com, and let's create relationships for an ever-evolving humanity. Welcome again to world of our immortality, let us walk with beauty and grace.